When we were in worship this morning, I had Tempe on my lap. She's riding like a horse, you know. If you know Tempe, that girl has boldness like you wouldn't believe. That is a little warrior. I mean, she is strong, spirited, and she may have a dress on and look kind of feminine, but she walks like a soldier, you know, like a warrior. She's very bold. But as I was bouncing her on my lap, and she's smiling, and her eyes are twinkling, and they're just so full of light and love and youth. And we were singing, there's coming a generation, the new generation. And you know what? The new generation is not an age. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that's been restored to the innocence of our youth, the way God created us. It's a spirit that has youthful energy, doesn't have hate and bitterness all through it, but it has a love and a zeal for God and a boldness for God. And I saw that in her, like just this little almost two-year-old baby scares the daylights out of the enemy, because that sweet, pure love is so dependent on God. And there's the power of God. When we're 2 years old, 1 year old, 1 month old, when we are just babies again, babies in our spirit of love and trust for our Father. And He's the protector that goes before us. Just, I get a chance, just get a hold of one of these little ones when their eyes are just full of glistening, and know that's where God is taking us. We are the generation that is coming if we get restored to that youthfulness. But there's also a generation right there, the young ones. The young ones that are being brought up different. The young ones that are being brought up in the Lord, who will have that boldness. Babies that are being nurtured in a different way. So they're not leaving home, going out trying to find a mommy and a daddy because they didn't get one at home. And if yours went out lacking that mothering and fathering, if you went out lacking that mothering and fathering, God is going to be your mother. God is going to be your father. God will take you back and undo the pain and parent you the right way so that you can be ready. You can be ready, not needy, searching, wanting what you didn't get. God wants to make you ready. Whenever you feel so led, you can fade out or keep playing, whichever. We're going to go to Proverbs 12 this morning. This is part of our preparation. We are in preparation. We're in preparation to be warriors. We're in preparation for a holy war that's been going on for thousands of years. But we are going to see the final days coming of that war, and the intensity is going to heat up more than ever. And we are God's warriors.
Amen.
But God does not war with carnal weapons. The right. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I know I didn't quote it all right, but we're going there in a minute anyway. God's weapons are not the weapons of this world.
Right.
So the weapons of this world are what? Guns, knives, anger, violence. God does not like guns and anger and weapons and violence of the flesh. He doesn't deal in hate. You know, the enemy, Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer, he's got all kinds of names, Baal, is hate, is violence, is anger, is screaming, is arguing, is pride. So the opposite spirit is what he can't stand, and he can't stand against the love of God, the peace of God, the goodness of God. He cannot stand against that. That is our weapons. Salvation, faith, peace. That is a weapon against the enemy. Every time we give in and use his weapons, we are defeated. Proverbs 12. Whoso loves instruction loves knowledge, but he that hates reproof is brutish. God is getting us ready. He's preparing his people. We need to love instruction. Instruction, according to Strong's, is correction, chastisement, discipline, warning, rebuke to reform and instruct us, all forms of discipline intended to lead to a transformed life. all forms of discipline that wants to bring you to a transformed life. And it says if you love instruction, I love reproof. I love discipline. Who can say that? Do we love to be disciplined? No, not in the flesh, we don't. We start out as a child when mom says, no, you can't have that. Inside comes the rebellion. Why can't I have what I want? It would make me happy to have what I want. But it only makes you happy for a short time. I mean, if a child was allowed to eat all the candy they want, they would think they were happy until they start throwing up and getting a tummy ache. Well, that's the same thing with Lucifer. He says, I want to give you what you want. I knew a man who was demon-possessed. He was satanic. He was a warlock. He had given himself over to demons. And the reason he did it was because he felt these spirits came to him as a young child. And they talked to him. And they told him, nobody else cares about you. Nobody else wants you to have any fun. Nobody wants you to have anything. But I do. And they began to give him fun. The things he liked to do. The things he wanted. But sin will take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay, and always cost you more than you want to pay. See, it's a trick. Right. It's like the stranger with candy. Come on, get in my car. I got candy. But he's really the kidnapper. He's really the molester. Satan is the kidnapper. He takes us captive with his toys and his games and his lures. But he is the captor. He's a kidnapper. He takes you to torment you. After he has his clutches around your neck, he's got you hooked on the drugs. He's got you hooked on the drink. He's got you hooked on immorality and intimacy out of marriage. Then you are captured. Then he begins to torture you. Then he begins to torture you. But if we love instruction, if we love rebuke, if we love chastisement, if we love discipline that is godly, amen, we can be transformed. Because discipline will guide you. Good discipline is for you. Good authority is for you to release you in freedom when you know how to handle it in a safe way. It is never to own you, puppet you, control you, and use you.
Right.
But it is to prepare you,
yes,
for life. Parents prepare those children to let them go forth in their life in a way they can be safe and happy.
Yes.
I mean, the kids think they want to do whatever they want. I'm 16 now and I know what's good for me. No, you don't. You just,
right,
between the ages of about 10 and 25, you just think you know everything. When you get 25, you realize you don't know anything. And from there on, the older you get, the more you realize, I don't know anything. I need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom. When you think you know, it's pride. When you know you don't know, it's humility. And then God will tell you. So we need the reproof. We need friends who hold us accountable. We need to be careful who we listen to.
Yeah.
Careful who influences our,
yes,
life. There is a spirit over Grand Rapids. It's over the whole world, but it's the prominent principality of Grand Rapids. And that is the spirit of religiousness.
Right.
Religiousness is the worst enemy of God.
Right.
It's the worst enemy of God because it is the most deceitful one.
Right.
It pretends to be good. It's an angel who pretends to be all white and shiny. But under the white and shiny is black and evil.
Right.
Because what it does is it blocks you from ever getting near true salvation,
amen,
and relationship,
amen,
with Jesus Christ, the Savior.
Right.
What it does is tell you, work hard, do good, look pious, be proud of your good works, go, give, work. And all those things will never get you near God. They will only fill you with pride and self-righteousness.
Right.
Holier than thou and pious,
right,
but not truly in relationship,
right,
with God. So that spirit is so deceitful, so deceitful. It comes so close to the truth and yet misses it. There's a new word going around for God. I want you to be aware of this. In the Old Testament, there is the word Yah, which is Y-A-H. And it means God. It's an Old Testament name meaning God. Yahweh is a proper usage of the name of God. Yeshua is a name that is Hebrew that Jewish people use. Yeshua,
Y-E-S-H-U-A,
Yeshua. But there is a misspelling of that name today. where it's tricky. And I want to show you, this is what the spirit of religion does. They're spelling it Y-A-H instead of Y-E-H. Because if they separate it and say, but Y-A-H means God. But Y-A-H connected to S-U, I'm not good at that, S-H-U-A, is not a name of God.
Right.
It is not a name of God. And those who are teaching to use that name also will say all kinds of study to try to prove that Jesus Christ is a wrong name and should not be said. The purpose of this deception is to take you back to the Old Testament and leave you without a Savior.
Right.
It is a misconception where they pretend to be really religious, but in the end, they take away your Savior. And they stick you in the Old Testament, which is rules, rules, good rules that no one can keep.
Right.
Good rules that no one can keep. Good rules that the people had to go out and slay lambs all the time and spill their blood because they continually broke the rules. We can't keep them. The rules were a schoolmaster to show us how evil is our heart and that we need a Savior.
Amen.
So that's a religious thing, and it seems like a good thing. But it's not a good thing.
Right.
And it takes you away from the true Jesus Christ, which is the name that has been spoken in our English Bible for thousands of years, hundreds of years, however many years. Well, I don't know if they had English 2,000 years ago. So I'm saying I don't know when it actually came in English. But God said, I will preserve my word to all generations.
Right.
And it was preserved into our English Bible. Every translation in our English Bible says Jesus Christ.
Right.
Even the translations I don't like.
Right.
Even the ones I don't think stayed very close to the original still say Jesus Christ. And for all these years, men have been saved by the name of Jesus Christ. They have not been saved by the name Yahshua. They have not.
Right.
Yahshua, Lloyd. Yes, spell it that way. That is a Jewish name for God. But Jesus Christ is the English term for the one who died on the cross and paid for our sin.
Right.
And that is the term we need to use.
Amen.
Do not be deceived when they change one little letter. One little letter changing in the Hebrew language changes everything.
Right.
Changes everything. Because it does not say Jesus Christ anymore. We need a Christ, a
Amen.
Messiah. And we have one. Don't stop speaking his name.
Amen.
So be careful. Be careful of people who corrupt. This is what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. He used the word of God, but he misused it.
Right.
He misused it. And he twisted it.
Right.
And he deceived with it. When people pull one verse out and they use it for crazy things, they are misusing the word of God.
Amen.
Believe me, Satan knows the word of God, and he knows how to twist it, and he knows how to confuse. How will you not be confused and deceived? Proverbs 12. He that loves instruction, if you love being rebuked, what gets rebuked? Your sin, your
right.
deception. If somebody comes up and says, Glenn, brother, I'm sorry, I need to tell you this. You're messing up. I got to make up something about you quick. You're being gone every night out there serving God, and you think you're serving God, but you're leaving your poor wife home all alone, and you're neglecting your marriage. So you're wrong, and you need to stop doing that. Now, if he gets all defensive, none of your business what I do with my night. I'm serving God. He doesn't love instruction. But if he takes that rebuke and says, I don't want to grieve the heart of God. I don't want to mess up. Please tell me when you see me messing up. I want to know.
Right.
Now, we always defend ourselves because if we thought we were right, we wouldn't be doing it. But when somebody brings you a reproof, right, I'm sorry, wrong. If somebody brings you a reproof, at least say, okay, I will pray about it. I don't see it. I think you're wrong. I don't see it. I think you're judgmental and critical. But I will pray about it. At least pray about it.
Amen.
I love accountability partners. I don't have seven. I want seven. But they have to be people who will walk with God, hear from God, boldly confront me only when God tells them to, but definitely when God tells them
right.
to. I don't want a bunch of chickens who are afraid they're going to hurt my feelings.
Right.
And I don't want a bunch of judgmental people that are always in my face trying to criticize me just because they have a bad spirit. I want godly people. I can trust them. So when they confront me, I'm going to take it serious and I'm going to take it before
right.
God. I love instruction. Do you love instruction? Do you have accountability partners? Because if you love instruction, you love knowledge. He that really loves instruction loves knowledge. Because you don't want to be doing wrong. You don't want to be doing wrong, and there's only one safe way not to be doing wrong. John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In order to live in a way that pleases God, if you love the instructions of God, then you must know the word of God,
right.
And you must continue in the word of God,
right,
to truly be his disciplined follower.
Correct.
Disciplined follower. And then these truths will set you free. Free from deception. Do you like the idea of living in deception and a lie? I don't. I said, God, I would rather have a truth that I hate than be comfortable with a lie that I'm believing. I don't want deception. I hate
right.
deception.
Amen.
And to hate reproof, but he that hates reproof is brutish. In my side note, I didn't go look up the word brutish, but in the side note in my Bible, it said the word brutish meant stupid. I said I wasn't going to say that word, but the Bible put that in there as a side note, so I have to say it. Dumb. Stupid. To hate reproof is stupid. To continue in your own way, to your own hurt, to your own destruction, is just pride. Why would we want to be stupid and go on to our own destruction? God says hating to be reproved is not so smart. Verse 2, Proverbs 12, verse 2. A good man obtains favor of the Lord. He is pleasing to the Lord. God will satisfy. He will show favor. He will bring blessings to this man who obtains his favor. He will delight him. He will bless him. But those who refuse correction, I have to go back and read it, yeah, because I didn't write that one down. But a man of wicked devices, he will condemn. A man who in his heart has wicked plans, wicked devices, him God will condemn. Do not bless the wicked. Do you know what you're doing when you bless the wicked? When you speak the blessing of God out of your mouth on the wicked person, what you're saying is, God, make everything he does to multiply and work. You don't want to do that. If he's doing wrong, you don't want God to bless it so that it works and increases. Don't bless the wicked. God said, I don't know where the verse is, but do not say Godspeed to them when they come to you.
You can
find it and then let me know. Proverbs 12:2 says, but the man of wicked devices or intentions will he condemn. To condemn is to declare wrong. To declare it involves your mouth, declaring something to be wrong. He will depart from that person. He will deal with that person. A man with wicked intentions, God is going to depart from him, and he's going to deal with that person, and he's going to declare that person is wrong. He will declare him wicked. Do you find it?
Oh, yeah.
Where is it?
Want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Second John, there's only one chapter, but we'll start with verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides or remains not in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He that abides or stays in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, this teaching, that Jesus is God in the flesh, he is the Christ, then do not receive him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't even say goodbye or God bless you. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
We had some people that tried to deceive us, and we had a young man who sets up meetings, and he talked to them on the internet, and he talked to them on the phone, and he interviewed them. And there was a singer and a preacher and a whole group of people. They wanted to come and hold meetings for us down in Kalamazoo and then here at our church. And they said everything right. They sounded like they were just like us until they got here and until the first meeting started. And then they stood up and started preaching the craziest things, crazy things that were not the word. They were staying at my house, and they were scheduled to speak in this church on the next Sunday. And when they started speaking the heresy that they did, we had to say, you need to pack and you need to leave. You may not speak in our church and you may not stay in our house. So they packed up, and then they wanted to hold hands and pray together. And she wanted me to bless them. We have some differences, she said, but let's just bless each other. And I did not bless her because she's teaching heresy. Right. Do not bless them. You will increase the power of the evil that they're carrying around. So you need to be very careful saying, God bless you. Somebody knocks at your door and they're preaching some wrong thing and it's not Jesus Christ, don't say, God bless you. Say, goodbye, get out, shut the door. Just don't talk to them. Don't talk to them. We used to be Baptists, and I know Jehovah's Witness would come to our doors. And my mom taught me as a child before we even go to church. I didn't even know God. My mom said, she learned this from her grandpa who was a preacher. She said, if a Jehovah Witness ever knocks at your door, just say, we're Baptists, and shut the door. I think it's because Baptists are so hard-headed, they thought, don't want that argument, you know. I don't know, but it scared them off. Oh, okay, you know, and they were gone. But when we became Baptists, we understood, because Baptists know the word. Baptists really know the word. And what they come back on it with is, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, part of the Holy, Holy Trinity, the deity. He is God in the flesh. Do you believe that? And they would say, no, no, he's a prophet, but he is not God. And they knew that the Baptists knew who Jesus was. So there is no more argument. There's nothing to talk about. They denied the deity of Jesus Christ as God. We do not bless them. Throwing out some things because I feel like there's some attacks. I feel like there's going to be some deception and attacks that are going to come against the body. And I want you to know some truths that will help you stand when those things come to you. Proverbs 12:3. A man shall not be established. He shall by wickedness. A man shall not be rooted, planted in the house of God by wickedness. So that means we're not going to let any wicked man be planted here, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. One deceiver is like a fox in the hen house.
Right.
He's going to eat the hens. One deceiver is like a wolf among the sheep. He is going to get to eat some of the sheep, because sometime he's going to catch one alone and devour them. One deceiver is like a lion walking around, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we are not going to allow deceivers to be planted here. I hope you understand what we're saying is we're going to protect you. We are going to protect you. We all have sin. I mean, none of us are perfect. We all have sin. But our hearts must be sincere. We really want God. We really want Jesus. We want the way of instruction. We want to love our God. We confess our sin. Keep a short account. But one who comes intentionally to deceive and corrupt and teach lies and take us away from Christ, we will not allow to be planted in the house of God. We will not allow that. But the root of the righteous shall not be moved, shall not be changed, shall not be torn out. We're not going to let our roots be moved. Our roots are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We are rooted in Christ. Look at Ephesians 3. In fact, Cecil, if you could get to Ephesians 3 and Tom to Colossians 2. Do you have a mic over there? You're too far away for me to get to you, so. Yeah, that's not on. I can get to Tom. Ephesians 3:16 through 21.
Ephesians 3:16-21. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
See what we're rooted in? The love of Christ. We are rooted not in rules. We are not rooted in good works. We are not rooted in religion. We are rooted in the very love of Christ Jesus. Amen. If you do not know the love of Christ Jesus, you have nothing. You have nothing.
Right.
All your works are as filthy rags. Religion is a filthy rag, and God is throwing it off. Our first picture is the weeping of God through the stained glass windows of religion, pleading, "Let my people go. Let my people go that they might worship me." He wants to love us. We need to be so rooted in that love. How do you get rooted in love? You have to have a relationship.
Yes.
You have to have a living, constant, ongoing relationship with the lover of your soul.
Exactly.
And that is not religion. But if you are rooted in love, then you will not be deceived when the enemy comes. Then you will know. You will recognize stale, stinky religion. I don't know what God's doing. This is really, really weird, but I keep smelling a demon lately. I keep trying to identify it. First, I thought maybe it's swine flu. I don't know, because I've never smelled this before. You know, it's something new. And then I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think it might be religion. I'm not sure. But it stinks. It stinks like stale cigarette smoke on clothes. It stinks like rotten, dirty socks. It's just a horrid smell. It burns my nostrils. It burns my throat when it comes in a room and I smell it. It's a horrid smell. I don't like that smell. And God doesn't like the smell of religion. It stinks.
Amen.
It is not acceptable to him. Colossians 2:6-7, Tom.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Established in the faith. Faith is such an easy word. I used to think, well, you've got to believe. You've got to really believe. And I would decide what I wanted to really believe and then really believe it. And it didn't happen. Faith is not believing what you want to believe. Faith is believing what he said.
Yes.
That's right back to the word. Believing what he said. It's back to the relationship of love, listening to him, talking with him, and believing him. Our adversary, that lion, walking around seeking to devour you, is a deceiver. He is tricky.
Yes, he is.
He sounds good. He looks good. He appears like an angel of light. You really need to know the word. You need to know what God has said and choose to believe it. You need to have the relationship that when you're not quite sure, and you get that feeling, I don't know why, I just got a feeling about something. You can go to God and identify that feeling because you talk with him and you listen to him. And whatever he tells you, you have to choose to believe him. Not
right.
What you're hearing from the person.
Right.
Not what you're seeing, but what God is telling you.
Exactly.
The relationship, rooted in the love of God in the relationship. No relationship makes one very, very, very weak little sheep.
Yep.
Colossians 2:8, while you're there. Go ahead and read 2:8. Nah, you lost it. Let's see how quick you can get back.
Okay, 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Be careful lest any man deceives you, spoils you. Spoiling means to come in and steal your good things from you.
Right.
In the war, the spoils were all the good things they would take after they destroyed a person. So when the deceiver comes, he comes to steal those things that are good in you that God
yes.
has planted. The enemy wants to steal those from you.
Yes.
And it says he comes in among us to deceive and to steal the good seed that of God that is in you. You need to beware. Be very careful.
Yes.
He will plunder you. And through philosophy, opinions, ideas, religion, false teaching, traditions of men. You look at most churches, they are built on the traditions of men. Where do you find what that church is doing in the Scripture? Where do we find a church doing what we do find in the Scripture? Revelation warns us of all the different types of churches in the end days. It warns us they've left their first love. What's the first love?
Jesus,
being rooted in the love of Jesus. They've left that. They've moved on to allowing false teachers
right.
to stand in there and teach them lies and deception. Unconditional love, agape love, is Christ. Right. Don't bless the evil. Bless those that curse you. Right. Right. But there's a difference. Bless those that curse you doesn't mean that we're putting a blessing on them to bless the works of cursing. What actually, if you do a word study there, go and study that out. It actually means the same thing as pray for your enemies and love them, because love is our weapon, remember?
Right.
So those who are cursing me, I am not going to curse them back. I'm going to say, God, I ask you to work in their heart. Here's a blessing, that they might turn to God and know him, that they might repent and find mercy. See, the blessing that we would put on them would be to bring them to repent and find God. Don't bless them in a general way that blesses their evil work. Okay, yeah, you got it. You wanted me to explain it, right? Okay, yeah, you're just agreeing with me all the way. I needed to clear that up. I'm just going to throw this in because I think it fits right here. And it's going to include my daughter. I'm sure I can talk about praying instead of criticizing and bring my example. Okay. Because I was criticizing her, so I want to make sure it's okay with her. Sometimes we think we're doing good because things don't get out of our mouth. But there's still a seed inside. Okay. No more comments till we're done, okay? Because I need to move on.
Right. Go ahead.
Tell me later, okay? So inside of our heart, we might be sinning, and then because we don't speak it, we don't think we did so bad. Criticism. One day last week, I asked the Holy Spirit to pray for me. And on the list of things he prayed for me was, he prayed that I would not be critical and judgmental over anyone. And I thought, okay, it's a good prayer. I won't be. I try hard not to be out my mouth. But that day, it became alive to me how many times I am in my heart and in my mind. And then I'm proud of myself because it didn't get out my mouth. So, started out, Tempe's screaming, which she's real, oh, that girl, I mean, the enemy's not going to want to hear her yell freedom. She has got lungs. So she's screaming at the top of her lungs. And her mom said, do not scream at me. If you scream at me again, you will get a spanking. And my critical mind was saying, if you scream at me again, why don't you spank her the first time? She already knows not to scream at you. So she can always get away with screaming at you one time because you're always going to say, if you do it again. So in my mind, I'm criticizing Janaya that she didn't realize, deal with it the first time
yes.
when they already know. She's had enough warnings. So I'm criticizing her in my mind, but I never spoke it. Immediately, the Holy Spirit said, you're condemning, you're criticizing. And I went, wow. Yeah, I am. Even if I don't speak it, I hold it in here and, you know, get that attitude going. So I said, what do I do, God? He said, pray for her. So I prayed instead of criticizing. God, would you please show her Would you look up your verse, Janai? I want you to share it. Would you please show her that she needs to move the first time, that the warning is only giving permission to get away with it one time? Why should she do it one time? So Janai wakes up the next morning. She comes up the stairs. I'm not going to say bouncing because she didn't wake up that good. But she comes upstairs. She's staying at my house right now. She says, look what God gave me.
He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loves him chastens him betimes, which means promptly. Let me show what I got.
Yeah.
It was just, like what stood out to me or was quickened was, like if we will discipline our kids, as soon as we see them misbehaving or they've disobeyed us, we immediately take action and do it in love, then we're loving them. But when we like give them warning after warning until we like lose our temper, we're actually allowing the evil spirit of anger and hate to come and hate our children through us. So it's just really quickened.
Is that good? That's awesome. So because I prayed that she would see it, instead of criticizing her, God showed it to her and she got it the very next day. It doesn't always happen that fast. But the point is, don't criticize people. Pray for them. Pray for them. I think I got there somewhere from where I was, but I'm going to come back now anyway. Okay, let's see. Vain, empty, deceitful traditions of the world and not after Christ. Not after Christ. Christ is our key. Christ is our key. We were talking to someone and saying, well, do you worship Jesus? And his answer was, which one? There's two Jesuses, you know. And he's right. There are two Jesuses, you know. One who died on the cross for your sin and one that's taught in the churches that don't have any relationship with the true God.
Right.
They just teach him as a prophet. They teach him. They may even say Jesus died on the cross for our sin, but they don't know him.
Right.
They don't have that relationship. They haven't been to the cross. They haven't taken their own sin to the cross and given it to him. They know about him in their head. They don't know about him in their heart. There's no blood in that relationship. Proverbs 12:4. I like this because we're right in the middle of a chapter all about deceivers, all about watch those people you're listening to. It's all about that kind of stuff. And then right in the middle of that, Proverbs 12:4, God says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that makes ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Woman is the bone of his bones. Bone of his bones. Inside, deep inside. Woman was taken from the depth inside of a man. See, God separated himself because we're all a reflection of God. But he took his masculinity and the femininity and put it in two separates. And then he said, when you get married, to become one. Now she fills his gaps and he fills her gaps. So the woman, the virtuous woman, the word virtue means strong, a force, able, active, army, might, power, train, war, substance. All these things are in the word virtuous. So a woman who is a strong force of God in his life. A woman who is able to train people for God. A woman who is a mighty warrior is a substance, is a force of God into her husband. A woman who walks with God will discern things in people. You know, women are the portion of God that has discernment. They get in touch with what's inside of people. Even before they're saved, because they're created as that reflection of God, that knows just what's going on in the heart of people. Men look at the outside. What they hear, that's it. Some little woman walks up to your husband and she's crying. The woman walks up to your husband and she's crying and she's all sad and tears are flowing. What do men do? Dumb ox to the slaughter. Let me be your hero. Let me help you. And the woman, if that's not true, the woman is going, get away from my man. She's manipulating you. Can't you see what's really going on? No. The man gets mad at the kids. Broke the rules. Here's the punishment. That's the end of it. The woman's going, but you didn't see their heart. You don't know what they were feeling. The women are in touch with what's inside of people. They were just created that way. They get it. They know the insides of people quicker than men do. That's why she can be a crown to her husband. That's why one who walks with God is a virtue that is added to him to be a crown in his life. She can see hidden motives. She can see the deceptions. She can see the true desires when they're good. Because we got people also that come in cold as ice cubes. Angry, cold, bitter. And the husband's going, he's just a jerk. But the woman's going, no, he's wounded. He's just wounded. He really wants help. Where do you get that? Because she sees what's inside. And she helps her husband have better relationships. So she can help him to help the people who just need healing. She can help him to discern wolves and deceivers. Because she isn't as impressed by what's on the outside as what she sees on the inside. So she's a crown to her husband because she will make him more honorable by helping him, by warning him, by bringing the inside heart of God to him, if he'll listen to her.
Yes.
Proverbs 31 says, who can find a virtuous woman? I challenge you to go there and read verse 10 to the end. Proverbs 31 shows you a virtuous woman.
Right.
She works, she gives, she loves, she sacrifices for her family, for her husband. Go to verse 5 in Proverbs 12. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The thoughts of the righteous are right. If you don't get any other verse today, grab that one and own it. Because God speaks to us through our thoughts. So if you love Jesus and you are in the Word and you have given your life to Him and you desire to please Him and walk with Him, if you are a disciple of Christ, righteous doesn't mean that you always do right. Righteous means you have Christ inside of you and you're walking with Him. You're a disciple, okay? It's His righteousness within you. So if you are a follower of Christ, He speaks to you through His thoughts, into your thoughts. And it says the thoughts of the righteous are right. Sometimes God's telling you something, but it's not what you're seeing. And you argue with Him. You argue. I don't think it's God. I think it's my imagination. I'm not sure God's really talking to me because this person doesn't look like what God's telling me they are. I mean, I've prayed over people. I've prayed healing. You've got to learn to trust God speaks to you. Question it, but trust Him when He confirms it. And if it's a negative, get it confirmed. But I've prayed over people. We had a healing service for everyone who came and sat in the chair. God's power was there to heal. One woman came and sat in the chair. I went to touch her, and God said, I do not want to heal her because she has unrepented sin that brought the sickness on her. And if I do heal her, she will get 7 times sicker because she will not repent. She will not repent of it. So I just kindly said, He told me she is in adultery. Now, you don't always have to say what God tells you.
Right.
I mean, you can be discreet.
Right.
So I didn't say, oh, God's not going to heal you. You're in adultery. Get out of the chair. I didn't do that.
Nope.
I said, what do you want me to do, God? He said, just politely tell her. We'll talk to her later. So I said, whispering, this isn't the right time for your healing. Let me talk to you after church. She jumped up and said, you won't heal me because I'm in adultery. You told on yourself. She left angry. But it confirmed what God had told me. So we need to believe what He tells us, but then we need to ask Him what to do about it. What do I do with
right.
it, God? Do you want me to confront them? Do you want me to pray for them? What do you want me to do with the things you're telling me? Remember the story about the lady driving down the road and God said, go in that store and stand on your head by the cooler? Are you sure, God? Was that you? Yep, it's me. Go do it. And she did it. And there was a young man with a gun to his head who was going to kill himself who had just prayed, God, if you're real, prove it. Make somebody come in here and stand on their head by the cooler. He thought he said something that couldn't happen. And it happened. And he didn't kill himself. Instead, he met Jesus.
Yes.
Have to know the thoughts of the righteous are right. Yield, if they're yielded, if they're yielded. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Took me a minute to get there, but I'm on my way. Should have had it marked. Oh, I did. My marker slid. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Well, let's go back to 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, so we are Christ. That's a little confusing in the end, but basically some people may tell you, I'm a Christian. But we know we're a Christian. If you know that you know that you know you've got a relationship with God, then you have His Spirit within you. This thing about thoughts, cast down your imaginations. Imaginations argue. When you're having a thought, you begin to argue. But what about this? But what about that? But I don't know if it's God. What if I made it up? What if it's just my imagination? Cast down the imagination. Rebuke it. God, I do not want imaginations. I do not want fantasies in my mind. If you're filling yourself up on TV, people come and say, but I keep having these thoughts. I keep having these dreams. What are you watching? First question, what are you watching on TV? If your dreams match your TV shows, you just found out what they're about.
Yeah.
Imaginations, fantasies. Maybe you ate pizza last night and had a weird dream. Maybe it's indigestion. But our thoughts, when we're praying, when we're seeking God, cast down imaginations. Cast down fantasies. Cast down arguments. I rebuke them all, and I give my mind. I bring it into captivity of Christ. I want to know truth. God, if I have sin blocking me from knowing truth, remove it. I'm having thoughts. I need to know if they're from you. I need to know if this is really you talking to me. Our logic tends to build things, precept upon precept. I start thinking, and then I build this thought, and that leads to that thought, which leads to this thought, which leads to that thought, and I come to a conclusion. God doesn't speak to you just through your logic.
Right.
So if it's a thought that you really need to know that you know that you know that this is God, don't get there by logic.
Correct.
Don't go there by logic. Capture every thought and bring it to God.
Yeah.
Capture every... We're going to experience that right now. We do it with the kids every morning. Janiah's kids. Every morning. We worship and we dance and we sing. And then we pray and tell God whatever we want to tell Him. And then we sit quiet and ask God to talk to us and our thoughts. And then the kids tell us what God had to say to them. We did this in a service when my mom was nearly 80 in a wheelchair. And my mom had been in a church where people just, the written word and that's it. You know, they don't trust anything that's not the written word. It wasn't in the spirit. So I'm telling the little kids, I want you all to close your eyes. And I want you to just, I rebuke imaginations. I rebuke logic. I bring all my thoughts to you, Jesus, and I really want to know what you have to say to me. This was the first time the kids had done it. And my mom did it with them. I want you to do it. Let's see what God will say to you. Everybody shut your eyes. If you really want to hear from God, if you really want to know how He speaks to you in your thoughts, cast down your imaginations. Bring every thought into captivity of Christ right now. God, I really want to know what you would say to me.
Amen.
What will you say to me today? I want to know. Just be quiet for a minute. Well, there was one more step. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God must be brought into captivity. I rebuke pride. I rebuke my own pride. everything I think I know.
Yes.
I just want to know what you know.
Yes.
I want to think what you're thinking. To some, you might say, you do not hear me because you do not know me. To some, he might say, you do not know my thoughts because you will not obey my thoughts. Bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Will you obey his thoughts when he does bring them? Will you obey anything he wants to say to you today? To some, you are wounded. You are wounded. You need my healing. And I will bring my healing. What will he say to you? I'm not telling you what he's saying to you. I'm confirming what he has said to you. I'm confirming what he has said to you. Will you go for me? Will you walk with me? Will you love me? Will you let me love you? Will you surrender today? Will you give your heart to only me? Let me hold it. Will you stop walking with pride, my enemy? Will you trust me? Will you follow me? Beware. Beware. The path you are following is to your own destruction. I don't know who he said that to. He said that to someone this morning. Turn. Return. Give and it shall be given unto you. I am your Father. Should a father not receive honor? Be bold. Speak my word. Fear not their faces. Come. Come. My hands are outstretched. Come. I love you. To many, he said, I love you. The day my mother was in the service and the little children, first time they'd asked God to speak to them, many of them were saying, he said he loves me. He said he loves me. My mom waved her hand out of her wheelchair and said, he said he loves me too. It was so sweet. It was so sweet. 2 Corinthians 10, 6 through 7. A readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If you really want to cast down those imaginations, you really want to know his mind, you have to be ready to obey the thoughts that he brings to you. Proverbs 12, 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right. You must learn to trust the thoughts that he brings. But the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Those who do not choose to follow God will be deceived.
That's exactly right.
6. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver him. You must open your mouth for what is right. The
Amen.
Power of death and life are in the tongue. You must speak truth. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. Words. Words will overthrow the wicked, but not words of anger and violence, not words that are hateful, words that come from God, but spoken in complete honesty of what he tells you to speak. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Stand for the truth. I think my favorite verse was the thoughts of the righteous are right. Learn to communicate with God. Know the Word of God. Because if your thoughts don't agree with the Word of God, they're not God. Know the Word. Be safe. Father, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. We thank you that you do protect us. We thank you you've created us in a way that we're not complete until we match up with those that you put in our life to form a team so that we have a full counsel from you for safety. Lord, let us beware of wolves that seek to devour lone sheep. And let us not be a lone wolf. Let us not be a lone sheep. But let us have accountability partners. Let us have a family. Let us have a shepherd. Let us have your safety. You said you would appoint pastors to watch over us. Shepherds. Appoint the shepherds and open their eyes that they would protect the sheep. But Lord, let the sheep not wander away from the fold and be deceived. Let them remain in the fold, close, in unity, and safe. We thank you for all your provision and your safety and your love. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Real quick, this is a place of preparation. This is a place to help you for the rest of your life. This is to help you have a firm foundation. I do not want you to fall. I don't want you to be hurt. Do you understand? We want to help you for the rest of your life. By the time I was 20, I had been in religion. It had not helped me. At the age 20, I was a drug dealer, as I've given testimony many times. When I met Jesus at 20, I said, all this religion has not helped me a bit. I am willing to start all over, take everything I think I know, full of all my self-righteousness, all my pride, all my, I know this and I know that. I made A's and B's in school. I didn't even have to try. It was easy for me. Do you understand? And I took all of that and said, I lay it down at the feet of Jesus. And I want to start all over with this book. And I want you to teach me what's right. It doesn't matter what I see, think, or feel, what I've been taught. It doesn't matter what anybody has said to me. I'm going to follow God. Either God's right or he's a liar. I started reading this book. I tried, God put me in a church. I was under authority. I was taught to be under authority. I believe in authority. God is a man of authority. God establishes authority, but God, it needs to be done God's way. It's not there to hurt you. It's there to help you. It's there to protect you. It's there to train you. It's there to help you for the rest of your life. That's what this is about. This was not baby food today. Are you listening? This was to help you grow up. This was to help you get strong. This was to help you for the rest of your life. This was to help you so that when deceivers, that we just got rid of one this morning and told him, we are up to your game. God showed us. You cannot come here anymore. You are a wolf. I don't care if you wear the clothing of a sheep. You're a wolf. Get out of here. You're not going to eat these sheep. These are the ones we're shepherd of. Do you understand? So we kicked somebody out this morning and told them, do not come back. We said, you want Jesus? You want to get delivered from these demons? We will help you. Until then, deceiver, do not come in this place. We care about you. We care to help you. We want to help you be strong in your life for the rest of your life. We want to help you with every decision you make. We want to help you to be a good worker. We want you to have joy and peace and love. We don't want you to go through divorce. We don't want you to go through drugs and being drugged down and beat up and kicked around and deceived by the enemy. We care about you. It started off, he that loveth instruction. We have to make a choice what we're going to listen to. Many people listen to people that talk to them and say what they want to hear. Smooth words. If that's what you want, you're going to be deceived. We're not playing that game. We've already gone through that. We've already had people do that. We don't want to live there. Do you understand? We want to help you. This is a preparation place to help you become strong. Not you just become little baby followers of us. We want to teach you how to stand on your own two feet. How to get God's truth for you from God's Word. Help you with your everyday life. That's what this is about. Little mommy talks real gentle. Daddy talks a little stronger. I'm not mad at anybody. I hate the devil. And I don't want the devil to hurt you. And I don't want him to have any place in you. And I want to kick the devil out of you. I love you. But every one of us has made agreement with old snake breath, the enemy. And we've let him come live in us and deceive us in areas. And that's why we're where we're at. And God wants, he loves you too much to leave you there. Do you understand? Now you have a choice. You can come here and, oh, it's all lovey and if there's freedom and, oh, God's here. But God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And you won't be hiding here. Okay? God is about helping you. We want God to be free. Not flesh to be free. Not the enemy to be free. We're going to let God get free through whoever he wants. I remember I was standing over here one time preaching. And a two-year-old from this congregation came and stood next to me. And every motion I was making, he was making. You remember this? You were here, and God said, I want you to be quiet. He said, I want to talk through him. Two-year-old? Okay, Lord. So I got quiet. The little two-year-old, and we didn't have an interpreter. A little two-year-old just went, blah, 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 blah. You know how they talk. You can't understand them, you know. Need to get the marbles out of their mouth. And blah, 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 for about 2 minutes. He just went on. Blah, 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 blah. Every now and then you'd hear him say, Jesus Christ, and blah, 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 Holy Spirit, blah, 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 blah. Do you remember that? Does anybody remember that besides me? You do, don't you? It was Carson. That's exactly your little boy. And after about 2 minutes, God said, he's done, and the little dude just wandered off. And God said, go on talking. So I went on preaching. When I was done, people came up to me in this place and said, I don't know what the little dude said, but when he spoke, it spoke to my spirit. Did something inside of me that was alive. You see, we don't got to understand everything, but we're going to set God free. We're going to set God free, but we're not going to set the enemy free, and we're not going to set flesh free, and we're going to learn how to live in the spirit. Are you with me? Do you understand that we care about you, and this is for you and for your life? I don't want you just coming here, and it was a nice little church, and we went there for a while, and now we go flounder somewhere else and flip-flop and go through our life never getting strong. We want to help make you strong, and it's not to follow us. We're just here temporarily for whatever amount of time it is to help strengthen you, to give you tools, because the whole key is to get you to Jesus. I know, I was just thinking of, I think it's 1 Samuel 15:22. It is better to obey than it is to sacrifice, and to hearken or to listen than the fat of rams. In other words, and it goes on to say, for rebellion is as the same as witchcraft. Okay? And what it simply means is it's not about giving somebody an offering. Well, I'm willing to do this. No, no, no. Obey. Don't just be willing to do something else. Obey what God says you. That's what works.